You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. If you want to support the show, the link to get your pre-order of NBA 2K25 is in the description. And if you pre-order it, you get some cool extras. So check out the link in the description, and everyone who purchases through that link, it gets registered and it shows just how much you guys are supporting the show. So make sure you check that out. I am Obutsu, alongside me, as always, nowadays, Mr. Scott Perry, seeing as BJ Armstrong is enjoying the off season too much. But Scotty P, how's it going, brother?
Oh man, it's going great, Mo. Going great. Another day in paradise, my man.
I hear it, bro. The USA basketball warm-ups for the Olympics ended today for the men's team. They were back at the O2 Arena in London, where they faced the reigning world champions, Germany, and they came away with a 92-88 win. Another very close game. And, you know, we spoke just 24 hours ago talking about this is going to be a statement game. They need to come out and win big. And to be fair, they were up 10 after the first quarter, but a 30-20 run in the third got Germany right back into the game. And it went down to the wire. And once again, the team made up of all the All-Stars relied on a 40-year-old man to bail them out down the stretch. Scott, what was your takeaway from this one?
Yeah, LeBron back to the rescue again, once again. Look, great to see from the U.S. perspective that he's coming through like that, even though these are the friendly games and they don't count. But look, these games matter. And LeBron knows that these games matter. This is his fourth trip to the Olympics. So he knows the importance of playing well going into this tournament. This was the last tune-up game that they had. Saw some good things from a couple other individuals. You know, again, Joel Embiid, at least from an offensive standpoint, starting to make a more consistent presence. His presence felt there on the interior. You look at the numbers from this game, Mo. The U.S. Really tried to attack this team on the interior, and that's what you got Joel Embiid for. You know, we've been talking about how well Anthony Davis has played on the interior, but Joel Embiid the last couple of games, at least from a scoring perspective, has played better, given him a more physical presence, starting to get a little more in the flow, if you will, of playing with these guys. But make no mistake about it, LeBron got the great honor of carrying the American flag. It was announced yesterday. Steph Curry announced it in the team meeting. So you know, and not that LeBron wasn't putting this Olympics as in supreme importance before that, but now that he's going to be a flag bearer for the entire United States, for all the athletes that are representing the U.S., you know, these games are going to have a little extra meaning to him. And it's showing early on in these friendly games. And again, it's been a joy to watch.
Yeah, the first basketball player who will be carrying a flag at the opening ceremony, 11 of his 20 points came in the fourth quarter. He was 8 of 11 from the field overall. And we were talking about Embiid, and he's starting to find his feet. He said after the game, you know, even during the NBA season, it takes him a few games to find his rhythm, and what he's experiencing. But that early lead that they got was when Bam Adebayo and Anthony Davis came in as the bigs, and they went on a 21-4 run with a couple blocks from the big men there. And I really like that pairing as a front court pairing, especially having them come off the bench is such a luxury, especially if Embiid is not playing well. Do you see a world in which they adjust things and maybe those two start, because they make such a big impact when they play?
No, that's the one advantage that the United States have. When you can go to your bench, I don't care what the other teams have that are going to be in the Olympics, to go to your bench and to be able to bring off an Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo with size, athleticism, energy, no one's going to be able to match that from a bench standpoint. The key is, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, it's not necessarily who starts, but who finishes. And that's going to be Steve Kerr and that staff's main focus and main job in this Olympics, is really watching these games to see what groupings are working well together. And so there may be some games that the starters play less minutes than some of the reserves, because the team is that deep, that good. You got to, you know, ride with the hot hand. But I would suspect to see Anthony Davis, because of the defensive presence, finishing the majority of these games, and Bam Adebayo playing an important role as well, because the energy and athleticism and the defensive and the switchability they give you on the defensive end, and look, they're good offensive players as well too. They figure heavily on this United States team. So I would imagine, like I said yesterday, they'll probably continue to start Embiid. But again, depending on how the game is going, don't be surprised to see Anthony Davis for sure and or Bam Adebayo, you know, log, you know, more minutes than Joel Embiid as the tournament moves forward.
Well, the first casualty of the rotation has been seen tonight in Tyrese Halliburton, who received no minutes. In his first three international games, he led the team in assists and steals and plus minus. But in the fourth and fifth games, he's only played 7 minutes, 0 tonight and 7 against South Sudan. Obviously, he's very limited defensively. However, what do you think is the reason? Is it just that there's so many good guys? Or why do you think Steve Kerr's dropped him out of rotation?
I go back to last summer, Mo, when this U.S. team, again, they weren't, all these guys weren't on the team, you know, Anthony Edwards, Halliburton was, just a couple guys. But last year when they lost in the World Games, World Cup, and Germany became champions, you noticed that they found themselves doing a lot of offensive and defensive substitutions late in games, the U.S. team I'm referring to. And that's what you don't want to get caught up into, is having to be subbing guys in and out defensively and offensively. That's why I told you yesterday, I favor guys that are two-way players. The more two-way players you can have out there, you don't have to mess around with that, you know, in the last 3-4 minutes making offensive, defensive substitutions, because those players out there are good both ways. So what has happened is, and for Tyrese Halliburton, Derek White, because he's this defensive specialist who they brought in late, we saw him play well against South Sudan. They go back to him again today. And again, he may not be the overall offensive creator that Halliburton is, but he's capable of spacing the floor and making three-point shots. So they don't need, you know, what Halliburton really does offensively, they don't need a ball dominant guard, because LeBron is going to want the ball in his hands. You know, Anthony Edwards can have the ball in his hands. Steph Curry can have the ball in his hands. So I can see how Halliburton, for the, you know, time being, ends up being on the outside looking in on this rotation, given what this team needs.
Yeah, I mean, Derek White played more minutes than Jrue Holiday today, but Jrue Holiday continues to be maybe the most underrated player in the USA or in the NBA or whatever. In 12 minutes, he had 10.6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block on 4 of 6 shooting. Just an absolutely amazing game from Jrue Holiday, and he hit a couple threes early on that really set the tone for the USA. Anthony Edwards is one of those two-way players that you mentioned. However, a lot of fans are criticizing him after that game for his lack of passing. He did finish with, what, 2 assists, but he doesn't seem as willing to share the basketball now compared to how he does in the NBA. Do you think that's a case of, you know, he's only playing 20 minutes now compared to playing 30, 40 minutes in the NBA? He wants to get his numbers and get his points while he's out there on the court, or what do you think the case is for that?
Look, Anthony Edwards, as a young player, was a scorer. He came into the NBA as a scorer. One thing he knows to get recognized and impact the game, he has to stay aggressive on the offensive end. And he's got to score. We know that. But he will make the right plays. It's part of it, you know, is adjusting who he's playing with. But I think the fact that, you know, all the big stars are on this team, and we heard him say it early on that, hey, I can be the number one option. I think part of what you're seeing with him as he plays is just letting people know, look, I'm not here to defer. I'm here to compete and win. But when the money's on the line, just watching him, he's matured so much as a player. I have no doubt in my mind that he will make the right basketball play once they get into the tournament, and understands that whoever has the hot hand, that's who's going to have to be fed. But he's definitely going to make sure he gives himself a chance to have a hot hand so that he could be that guy down the stretch.
I've got a question for you, Scott. If you had to say, based on what you've seen so far, who are the two best players, not the best players by their reputation and what they've done in the past, but in these USA games, which two players have played the best for the USA?
Boy, I haven't been able to watch every minute of all of the games. Obviously, Kevin Durant has yet to play.
Yep, that's scary for the rest of the world.
So, yeah, exactly, which is scary. We haven't even talked about that very much. So he can't be on the list right now, but in terms of performance, you look at the two Los Angeles Lakers. They've been as good as anybody: Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
There we go.
Yeah. So they have been the most consistent in terms of how they've competed, how they've delivered. Anthony Davis on both ends of the floor. The work he's done on the glass, the work he's done defensively, the work he's put in, scoring the basketball. And LeBron has just really taken over and displayed great leadership. And you can tell that everybody on this team has bought into the fact that, okay, yeah, even though LeBron is the elder statesman, he definitely is the leader of the team, and he is the one player that they're all looking towards for direction and having him lead the way. So from where I sit right now, those two players probably have been the best and most consistent.
So the two Lakers players have been the best players on Team USA so far. Mm-hmm. And this is a team with the best players in the world. Why doesn't it work when they're playing for the Lakers? Because, I mean, they play great, but it doesn't accumulate to wins because they're a perennial kind of play-in team. obviously, you have the advantage of better spacing and whatnot, but the Lakers have to be doing something drastically wrong for them not to be championship favorites every season with these two guys that can play like this.
Well, Mo, first of all, when you look at an NBA season, though, you're talking 82 games, all right? And you're talking 48-minute games again. We talked about this yesterday, the difference between 48 and 40-minute games. And so in the regular season, this past season, Anthony Davis stepped up and played, what did he play, 74 games this year, which mm-hmm. was close to a career high for him in terms of availability. And so he performed well. But look, LeBron was 39 years old going through a regular season. So the amount of energy that you need to play three or four games in a week, it's a little different than playing in this Olympic competition where you're not playing as many games. The games are shorter. You're playing 20 to 25 minutes versus being asked to play 35 minutes as a starter in the NBA. So I think part of that is some of their issue in the regular season. But that's also why, and when we talked about the Lakers as a playoff team, I said last season, they just had to make it to the playoffs and try to not play the Denver Nuggets, who they matched up poorly against. Because I think they still, just like they did 2 years ago when they went to the conference finals and lost to Denver, I thought, again, this year, even though that they were, challenged in some areas of their roster, with those two in a playoff series, would have been able to be much more competitive against the rest of the Western Conference, outside of the Denver Nuggets.
I've got a random question for you. I did a radio show before the game today, and one question that was posed on the show, which you could probably speak to better than me because you're in America right now, is they posed it as, America is a country that's divided right now. Is Team USA winning the gold medal going to bring the country closer together? Which I thought was interesting because from where I sit, it's like you're expected to win the gold medal. It's not going to be some huge achievement that everyone's going to be on the street celebrating winning that gold medal. But as an American, what's your take on that?
Look, there's obviously a lot of talk during this time. It's an election year here, so there's a lot of discords about the divide within the country because of a lot of the harsh rhetoric that goes on during this political time. But as an athlete, and I think this is where the story came from, because I believe it was an interview with LeBron, they realized that they're representing the country. And they also understand that the entire country will be watching, and not just the basketball players, you know, the track athletes, whatever sport it is, all those athletes realize that for a couple of weeks, the country can come together and pull for one common cause, and that's the American athlete doing very well in the Olympics, bringing home the most gold medals and winning the entire Olympics. And so they know for this, that short window, that people can, again, like I said, gather, applaud, pull together, put their differences aside just for that point in time and point of pride. Now, does that last beyond the gold medal ceremony? That, you know, is yet to be seen. And that, you know, probably is a little aspirational to hope that. But again, I get it. And it just shows understanding on a lot of these young athletes' part, that that's just their way of saying, hey, let's come together here for the short time. And hopefully in coming together, we can extend that period longer than just the Olympic Games.
Absolutely. Well, that's the final warm-up game for the USA. The Olympics are going to start in just over a week now. Scott, what are you going to do to fill the void?
To fill the void, Mo, I'm just going to get ready and I'm going to study some of the rosters of some of these Olympic teams to see who are going to be the biggest challenges for this U.S. team. You know, right off the bat, I think about France. I think about Canada, who has the most NBA players on their roster outside of the U.S. team. Serbia is in their pool.
Yeah, well, Group A. Should we break this down?
Yeah, let's break it down.
Group A, Australia, Greece, Canada, and Spain. That's a tough group.
Yes.
I could see any of those teams coming out of that group. That's tough to pick. Yes. I think there's three groups of four, but eight teams make it through to the tournament brackets phase of the competition. So I think it's going to be the top two teams in each group, plus, I guess, the two best third place finishers.
Yes.
So who do you see coming out of that one?
You said Canada, Spain,
Australia, and Greece.
And Greece. Woo, man. Boy, you got Giannis.
That someone's not going to make it. The easier way to phrase it is which one of those four doesn't make it.
But I'm going to go. I'm a believer in the Canadian team. My only concern about Canada is teams that play really physical on the interior.
Mm.
On the perimeter wise, I really like, they've got the best guard arguably in the tournament.
Yep.
I'm gonna lean towards Canada. Australia has played well in these friendly games. I'm not going to say Spain. I'm not going to say between Australia and Greece. I'm going to go Australia right now. So I'll go Australia and Canada.
Yeah, I mean, Paddy Mills always shows up when it's FIBA competitions, but we'll see. And Josh Giddey's been playing well. Also, Group B is France, Germany, Japan, and Brazil.
France, Germany, Japan, and Brazil. I'm going to go France and Germany.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then Group C, Serbia, South Sudan, Puerto Rico, and the USA.
I'm going to go the U.S. and Serbia.
And South Sudan, maybe in third place. You never know.
You never know.
But it's going to be interesting.
And look, it's hard for me to bet against the Joker, at least not getting out of the early round play.
Yeah, absolutely. If you had to give me a kind of percentage chance of how sure you are that the USA are going to win the gold medal, what percentage would you be at right now?
Wow, that's a great question, Mo. You're asking the tough ones
today.
That's
what I do, Scott. That's what I do.
I'm going to give him a 90% chance.
90%. I like that. I'm thinking.
I'm going to give him 90%. I got to get, I have enough respect for the world that I know it's not a lock for sure. Mm. But look, I still believe in this U.S. team in terms of the amount of talent. And just watching the determination on LeBron, I just feel like he's not going to let this group lose.
Yeah.
I really do. So.
Yeah. Well, he has to for his documentary. It's his final Olympics.
Yes, exactly.
Can't be having that bronze medal like he did in 2004.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm very excited to see how it all unfolds, and we'll be with you guys every step of the way. And then there's been a few more signings that we're going to talk about on tomorrow's show. So we'll get it cooking. Scott, I appreciate you as always. Thank you for showing up, unlike some people who are busy with the grill and the barbecue in the garden.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, listen, you know what, Mo? We just got to make sure that the next time that he's on, we got to take a look at what he prepared so we can see what it looks like. See if it passes at least the eye test for us.
Oh, for real. For real. Well, having said that, on Thanksgiving, BJ told me he had sent me a picture of his plate, because I wanted to know what he was having for Thanksgiving. It took him 2 days to figure out how to send me a picture on WhatsApp. And he had to actually get someone else to do it because it clearly wasn't his plate. So I think it was one of the kids, and he managed to get it over in the end. So we'll see how that goes. But appreciate you guys for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. The Olympics around the corner. There's a lot more NBA to talk about, so don't worry. We're going to be here rocking with you for the rest of the offseason and beyond that. So until next time, you guys know what it is. Get buckets.